Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I'm here with Lenny. Lenny, you've got a little bit of flour in your hair.
I've got more than that, darling. It's down everywhere, I think.
Tell the listeners why you've got flour in your hair. What are you making today?
Does it smell a bit fishy in here?
Oh yeah, it smells like Gagger's flat in Cheetham Hill, circa 1993.
Jessie, did you see all about Cheetham Hill?
No.
It's the biggest drug centre in the whole of the world.
God,
and they're having to smash doors down because there's drug dealing, gangsters, gangs. They're bulldozing doors down and trying to. That's where my mum lived.
Gagger was a bad bitch, wasn't she?
Yeah. Anyway. On her mobile scooter, she used to see them.
She
all.
Was probably shotting all the drugs.
She used to have a stick and whack them.
Oh my God. Anyway, what are you making? Why have you got flour in your hair?
I've made crab cakes, which I've never made before, but I thought it would be a nice light lunch because our guest is coming a little later and too late for meat and two veg, I felt.
The house does smell of
fish.
But that is okay.
Let's hope
hopefully he's
he
not going
fish.
Anywhere important later.
So our guest is here.
Who do we have on today?
And it's a sin, Jessie.
We've got Russell T Davies on the podcast, on Table Manners. Russell, you are in our kitchen.
At last.
I really hope you don't have plans later because you're going to smell like a fish and chip shop.
She might not.
I might normally.
Spray him.
Well, you've only just met me. This could be eau de Russell.
You've come in with a gorgeous a beautiful scarf.
That scarf is quite something.
It's gorgeous. It's in the study. It's
Where
safe
is it?
From the fish.
Where's it?
It's about 20 years old, that scarf. People remember me shooting Queer as Folk in that scarf.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've had it for years. Then I lost it. I lost it for about 8 years. And then do you know what I did?
What?
I looked for it. That's when a man loses something. They haven't even bothered looking. And the first place I looked, I went, oh, there it is.
Oh, that's so nice.
Where do you actually live?
I live in Manchester properly. That's what I call
Whereabouts?
Home.
Whereabouts? That's where
Manchester.
From.
Oh, just Rusham, just behind Rusham.
Oh, so I went to school at Manchester High, which is just near Platfields.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I go walking there.
So you must eat curry every night.
No, I don't. Weirdly, I don't like curry. I probably said to you, don't
You're
curry
in the wrong place.
I know, it's the only
Rush
food.
Home is curry mine.
I like the taste. I'm sensitive. It just doesn't work for me.
Okay.
And so I lived there just before Manchester. My entire house flooded. Nine pipes in the roof broke. It was raining inside there for hours.
Was it because of the cold?
Yeah, it was that freeze and then it thawed. They warned you to leave the heating on. Did I leave the heating on? No, I didn't. Because no one's leaving the heating on these days because it's too expensive.
Darling, why did you choose Manchester? Much as I love Manchester, it is rather a wet area.
I'm from Swansea though, so that was already
okay.
Wet.
You
I
felt
knew
at
the
home.
Rain very well.
You had to worry.
I got a job there. I got a job there in 1987. There was a general election. Up I went. I'd been working in Cardiff, and within about 3 days, I loved that city. I just went, oh, I love it.
It is the best place.
I saw Audrey
it?
Roberts in the supermarket, and I was like, this
Audrey.
Is it. This is it, I know. Gorgeous. Loved it. Properly loved it. And settled and got work there, and I wanted to work in telly. So I've never lived in London. Never.
What was your first job in
it
Manchester?
It was a children's show. Do you remember Why Don't You?
Yes,
why don't you just switch off your television set and go and do something that's boring instead?
Don't you remember? Who presented it?
Well, kids presented it. There was no presenter. It was just a bunch of kids doing, around 18 years, they did hobbies, they did made things, these recipes.
It was why don't you switch off your TV, and then they did the hobbies.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was the person on the studio floor who worked with the kids, because they, you know, they needed someone there to direct them on the floor, not the camera director, but someone there for them.
And how old
a lovely
were you?
Job. I must have been 1987. I was 24 then, 23, 24. I did it in Wales for a while.
So what have you done at uni? Had you trained to be a teacher or anything?
No, I did English. What good does that do?
English
literature.
Where did you do that?
At Oxford. I went to Oxford.
You went to Oxford.
Worcester College in Oxford.
Who was in your year, like, that was a bit thespy?
Do you know, just me. I kind of keep looking for famous people in my year. And what rubbish
no
they
one.
Are. Oh. I'm eating a stretch.
No,
so
that's it.
You just
fine.
Hear that crunch
don't worry.
On the camera.
No, it's
that's
where
fine.
Have you just come from? Tell everybody where you've just come from.
I've just come from Loose Women.
And did you have a... enjoyable
they
time.
Were. Do you know what? It's such a lot. It's a very relaxed show, actually.
Is it?
You go on, you have a proper laugh. There's four of them firing questions from all angles at you and an audience, but I had a proper laugh. And they weren't
so after
it was
got Lenny and Jessie
Denise,
to finish
Judy
you
Love.
Denise, Judy Love, Linda Robson, and lovely Kay Adams.
She's a presenter,
yeah.
She's lovely, isn't she?
So it was lovely. I had a very nice time.
And you were talking about Nolly?
Yeah. That was too
I've watched it.
Have you? Oh, good.
I
all
loved
right.
it.
Oh, thank you, Jessie.
Helena
Hooray.
Bonham Carter oh. is sublime.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't know of Noel. I didn't know of Nolly.
No, you were too young. You must have learned. Yeah.
And but I completely fell in love with her.
Oh.
It was really, really touching and frustrating in parts because you see how things maybe haven't changed that much. But also...
Well, isn't that the truth? Yeah.
So... how was it working with Helena Bonham
Oh,
Carter?
Just that. She's lovely. And you're going to be nuts. Don't be nuts. Please
yeah,
don't be nuts.
Yeah.
The most nuts thing she ever did was she had a cup of tea in one hand and a cup of coffee in the other.
Okay.
And I love that.
Is quite
like, come on, you're ready for anything. She properly engaged with it. It's like it's one of the joys of my life that I get to work with people like that. And, you know, you're scared. You kind of go, we had a first meeting. You arranged to meet in London. And it was lockdown-y at the time, so it was all masked and let's meet outdoors.
Did you wear the scarf?
I did not wear the scarf because I hadn't looked for it at that point.
Okay.
The looking is quite recent. And you're terrified going to that, thinking, what if she's haughty? What if she's imperious? What if she's got demands? What if she's got notes? That's what I'm scared of. It's like, please don't have a million notes. Or have a million good notes. I'll always take a million good notes. She was delightful. And one of the first things she said was, I have no notes.
Oh, you're always very involved in casting.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So
I kind of
you don't
as...
delegate to a casting agent.
Well, in truth, you have a brilliant casting director, not to take Andy Pryor does all my stuff, so I can't take away from him because he's amazing. But I'm part of it. That's why I'm a producer on my stuff as well. Because you write it, and it's mad to hand it over and then have nothing to do with it, because I have opinions. I know what scenes should look like and how they should feel and how they should sound and who should be in it.
And was she always the person you wanted?
She was. Well, I never dreamt we would. You know, people said, let's try Helen Bonham. I'm like, yeah, good luck then. Bye-bye. And you just don't ever think that'll happen. Because she must get 20 scripts a day. Landing on a desk.
Yeah, but not all from Russell T. Davies. You know, watching It's a Sin, which it was perfect and heartbreaking.
You were so lovely about that show.
No, it was so important. We had Lydia.
Yes.
And Ollie.
We had Ollie on when he was cast, but he couldn't talk about it.
Right, I've heard that. Isn't he gorgeous?
Oh, he's lovely.
I mean, that entire
cast. Just the most delightful.
That's the thing,
man.
And I feel like there was such a gang in that, but everyone was so lovable.
Oh, thank you.
And they all had their different issues, but they were so loved. And again, with Nolly, she's not problematic, but she was she's a strong character,
oh,
right?
Absolutely.
That did give notes.
She had opinions.
Well, had opinions.
She gave notes.
And I do feel that you write characters that people are willing them on. People love them. People are invested in them.
Oh, I hope so.
Why did you? Well, you didn't write Nolly though. I mean, in the sense that you didn't write her character. She was a person already.
No, it's my take on her.
It's just exactly how she was.
Is it? Yeah. Did it ring true with you?
Well, because it was one of the really very first soaps, to be honest.
Yeah, it was.
And it was rather chaotic because all the scenery didn't. The kind of mood.
It was unloved. It was unloved by the company that made it.
Yeah, and it was set in the Midlands.
Yeah.
So it was an odd place to set anything.
Also, it was set in a motel. What's a motel?
It was a motel.
Yeah.
No one had
a motel.
Motels.
It's like a typo.
Yeah, it's it was like no one had motels, but I think they thought they were a bit trendy.
I think they thought that was the jet set.
Yeah, that was jet set.
Everyone's going to have motels. That's hotels so next to motorways. Like that, and it never took off. Even no. I used to watch in the 60s and 70s, and we'd sit there going, what's a motel? It was always mysterious.
And it was a bit Dynasty-like because there was plotting yeah. and things like that.
Shares and boardroom things yeah. over a motel with 60 rooms.
Yes. And the more interesting people were always the kind of the chambermaid or yeah. who was having an affair with somebody else. Or,
and the villagers.
Yeah, the villagers. Yeah, yeah, and the village yeah, yeah. it was in. But it was kind of such an odd...
It was fundamentally yeah. flawed, generally. Yeah. That's why it kind of lurched along. I'm not making any bones about it. It's like the street is a great... You can't go wrong with Coronation Street. Working class people in a northern town, in a street.
Yeah.
A motel with boardroom battles in Birmingham. Over in Birmingham.
Maybe Succession was kind of inspired by Crossroads. I don't know.
It paved the way. Paved the way for Succession.
But also called Crossroads. It was such a funny name.
Well, yes, the whole thing was...
There's a very trendy vegan restaurant in Hollywood called Crossroads.
Yeah, but,
Britney Spears
yeah, but
goes now,
but people kind of got into it because it was a bit odd. So yeah. I think that... Now, I've forgotten when it... When was it exactly?
Kind of 64 onwards. Yes, it took a while to go network. Yeah. It was.
And then when was it... When did it stop?
87.
Meg was actually 1981. It died so by 86, 87.
Yeah, so I can remember at university it became a cult.
Was it?
To watch it, yeah.
Because it was
I was in Birmingham University. Oh, right. And it was a bit of a cult to watch it when you didn't...
But they were also... Birmingham was very proud of it.
Yes.
They loved her. She was called Queen of the Midlands.
They loved her.
That's what Nolly was called.
I read something that you said about wanting to protect Nolly's legacy because she has no family.
Yes. And one of the curious things about her was no husband, never a husband, no children, also no brothers or sisters. So she's kind of vanished from the record. She died quite soon after she was sacked, about 4 years later. So, you know, we all talk about these great beings. Someone said very interesting. Nicola, the producer, said to me the other day, I wish she'd said this to me while we were filming. But she said, because I was like saying, why isn't she remembered? We remember Diana Dawes. And Nicola said, that's because Diana Dawes is remembered as a sex bomb.
Yeah,
so we remember the sexy women. The men are in charge of who we remember.
She was older when she was... Yes.
She was she was a beautiful woman. At the time, but, you know, she's much more matriarchal. Yeah. Isn't that terrible that we remember the sex bombs? Now I am using the phrase sex bomb, which is ridiculous in itself.
Yeah.
And we don't remember the more ordinary
women. Why did you fall in love with her?
Well, I was watching... And I was 18 in 1981 when she was sacked. And that's kind of the autumn I went to university. And I'm meant to be reading Chaucer and Dickens and whatever.
You're watching
and
Crossroads.
I was fascinated by Crossroads. When you went to university for the first time ever, there was a room in which you had all the newspapers. So the first time in my life, I had access to every single tabloid. So every morning, everyone else was reading up on sports and politics and things like that. But I just go and get all the information about what was happening to Nolly on Crossroads. I was obsessed with it. And I genuinely thought it was strange. Even then, at 18 years old, I thought, why are you sacking the lead woman?
I remember when she got the sack. It was
amazing.
So shocking.
Yeah.
It was all over the papers.
It feels quite apt that you made this, because obviously you've made so much television.
I'm a television soul. Yeah.
Do you think it kind of stemmed from this interest in television and Crossroads and characters and big characters and all
it
that?
It did. It's true. I grew up watching the soaps, and my mum and dad never switched the television off. That's what I loved about them. Visitors came to the house, they'd leave it on.
In the background.
And they did it until closed down at night, and they never stopped me watching anything. They were quite conservative, a couple of them, they were two teachers. They were quite conservative in many ways. In many ways, I think they were sort of beholden to the television. They kind of thought it had authority. And they'd let me watch anything in the 70s, all those plays
my
for today's.
Were the same.
I Claudius stuff, all the sex in I Claudius. I was watching that at like 12 years old, quite happily. They never turned anything off, and it kind of made me who I am.
Loved
in a way.
Telly.
Were you having telly dinners?
No, we didn't do that. No one did that then.
Okay.
I think. No,
when
no,
did
no.
that become?
Also,
thing?
My mum was an amazing
it?
Cook, so we'd always have.
Sometimes I'd have it on my lap if I was lucky. Very, very good on a Saturday night.
Oh yes, I suppose you'd have times like that. And Christmas, when you were Christmas, Christmas dinner at night,
or when Miss World was on.
Oh right.
So my parents were obsessed with Miss World.
Why?
It was a bit like the Eurovision.
Eurovision.
Oh, because my parents my father would get
a
thing
huge.
Out. It was huge, Jesse. My father would get a sheet out.
Oh,
and,
I bet he fucking
and,
did.
No, he wasn't like that, my dad. He was so conservative, my father. But we'd kind of say who we thought was the best, and a bit like Eurovision.
Yeah.
You said that your mum's a good cook. give us a dish that just fills...
Well, I can remember, because this is in the 60s, there was a shop in Swansea called The International where she'd have to go to buy garlic.
Garlic,
you wouldn't get garlic in shops. No. It didn't exist.
Or olive oil.
Olive oil, my mother...
You
my
bought
sister
in the
says
chemist.
Peppers as well.
Yeah.
Actual peppers. You wouldn't go there. So she'd go there to buy that. She was just... She'd like... Of a normal night, she'd say, let's have osso buco. And she,
oh, wow.
She was a properly
good
marvellous
God.
Cook. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was amazing. It was normal to me. I just grew up with that. Now I look around and go, oh, right, that's not every mother.
Did she have Julia Child's book?
No, it was all... She had all sorts of handwritten recipes and in old books. She was a teacher as well, but she lived in that kitchen. The day she died, the oven broke. That
Aww.
Really happened. Really, something snapped
how
in the world.
How old was she?
Oh, she was only 72. She was far too young.
Baby.
Yeah. That was like 2001. Far too young. She should be around now. We all miss her to this day.
Is your dad alive?
No, he died about 90, when he was 90 years old, a few years ago, so... Was
and
a better
have you got
innings.
Brother and sisters?
I've got two older sisters,
yeah.
Janet and Susan, who are my... Now I'm not in my Manchester house. I've got a Swansea house. I'm very lucky. I've got a second house. And they just live just down the road. It's a funny life, isn't it? You spend your life running away.
Yeah, and then
and going
you go
and living
back.
Your life. And there's a bit of elastic that just pulls you back.
Who
it's nice.
Who got the cooking gene out of you siblings?
Not me. My sister Susie really got that. Sorry, Sister Janet, you've got a bit of it. But Sister Susie cooks all day long. Sister Susie had a stroke 10 years ago and is now amazingly completely recovered. She's worked so hard.
Good for her.
She's 99% recovered. It was a big stroke. And baking became her way out of it. She got a proper license from the council to bake in her kitchen and started selling the cakes. And it was part of her therapy to just do things.
Wow.
And she learned icing. She was a good cook anyway, but she learned icing and she still does birthday cakes and stuff like that. It was a real route out of a very dark time for her. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's amazing. She's
and she's still doing it?
Yeah, not less now. She doesn't need to do it now.
Yeah,
it was
right.
quite compulsive at the time. It was a thing she had to do to kind of prove she had to give up her job. She was a teacher, so, you know, it was a big... gap left, but she filled it.
You come from a whole world of a family of academia, like that both parents were teachers.
Yes, both sisters are teachers. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. And one of my nieces is a teacher as well. One of my nieces works as a doctor, and one works at British Steel. How amazing.
Was it always English? Did everyone study English?
No, the rest of them are French. Mum and dad are French teachers, and my sister Janet's a French teacher as well. Yeah, it's a lot of French.
And did you do what Jesse did English at uni?
Oh, right.
Did you do all that early, the Green Knight?
Oh, God, Anglo-Saxon. Did you do that? I hated that.
Oh,
why do they make you do that?
I don't know. I think, I suppose it would die otherwise. Someone's going to enjoy it.
What was your dissertation on?
The Brontes.
Oh, okay.
Love the Brontes.
Do you like the Brontes?
Yes, yes, yes.
What's your favourite book?
Oh, it's got to be Wuthering Heights, really, hasn't it? It's like,
would you ever make it?
Well, it's been done, hasn't it? Kate
no,
Mellor
get,
did the version of that
video. Do the Russell T Davies.
Do you think? Yeah, I suppose. Touch. Actually, in a way, I kind of think I've got nothing to say about Wuthering Heights. I love it. But I think the best Wuthering Heights would be a very classical adaptation, actually. I wouldn't particularly have anything to add to it.
Who's been your best Heathcliff?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh.
I suppose Tom Hardy would be an amazing Heathcliff, wouldn't
he? Yeah,
that would be
great.
He'd be probably
he's
rough and
moody and
hard. And
yeah,
dangerous. He's got that dangerous. And that's, there we go. Okay, I'll do it. Right. It started here.
Are you hungry?
I'm always hungry.
Okay, should we eat
There's
a
never
bit?
A time I couldn't eat a meal, to be honest.
Okay, amazing.
I'm excited
well,
to be...
Well, it's a funny excited. Old time, isn't it? Because you've been working and then we're eating at about 2:30, so it's a late lunch. So Mum was very particular about not making you have something too heavy in case you were eating later.
You could have made it as heavy as you liked.
Okay.
I would have six meals a day, really.
Okay, like, well, we have two
very foodie
courses.
Family, actually, because of my mother. Yes, so we love our family dinners, and Christmas is brilliant with my lot. It's like we have such a laugh, and it's a big tables. So we love it.
Okay.
We love it.
Well, I want to tell you, I'm going to tell you we're having crab cakes.
Oh, I love a crab cake.
I haven't had a crab cake in a very long time.
Wow. Well, I've never made I would choose crab cakes on a menu. So
oh, well,
this
there
is brilliant.
You go.
No, really. Like, they
might be horrible. We've got crab cakes with some salads. And
I buy those tubs in Marks and Spencer. They do crab meat with a bit of egg on top. I just eat
with
that.
Egg on top?
Yes,
you
got
put the
a
egg
bit
on top.
Do you know, I think they've stopped selling it, now I think of it. I haven't seen that for a while. And Oh, egg on top, gorgeous.
What, like grated egg?
Like a
egg mayo?
No, a boiled egg that's been not mashed but cut up into bits. Ooh. Bits of boiled egg. Yeah.
Oh my God, that sounds delicious. So you're not a good cook?
No, I'm all right.
You're okay. What would be your dish you're cooking for us?
I would do a salmon on asparagus. What I call my salmon portcullis. I just put like six asparagus in a row and I put the salmon fillet on top. So it's nice.
How do you, because I always cock up salmon. Is there a particular time that you do in a particular way that you do it?
20 minutes.
20 minutes?
Unless it's a very thick fillet, then 25. And it's that.
Do you cover it so it kind of steams up?
In foil. Yeah. In it goes. That's it. 25. I'd say 25 to be.
And what would you serve it with?
Veg. I know I don't look particularly healthy, but I eat an extraordinary amount. My husband was very ill for many years. Bless him. He's passed away now. I wasn't going to, when he was ill, everyone said, oh, put him on a macro diet. I wasn't going to do that because I thought in his last few years of life, I wanted to have a nice diet. But the one thing I did do was say, let's have lots of veg because that's got to be healthy. So we ended up having eight veg a night. Eight. On a plate, eight. And I still do that. Now he's gone. I still have the eight veg a night because that's got to be good for you, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's so... That's mad, isn't it? It's a lot of veg.
How did you meet your husband?
Out clubbing, 10 to 2 in the morning. In Cruise 101 in Manchester.
Oh, I love it. What was the song playing?
Do you know, I wish I knew. If I had a TARDIS, I'd go back and I'd be standing there, creepily watching myself. Like a weirdo. But I don't know. I wonder what it was. Oh, he was handsome. Literally across a crowded floor. And this is my favourite thing. It turned out, he lived in Manchester, I lived in Manchester. It turned out we'd both been going out to the same clubs for 10 years and had never seen each other. And it's not huge, Manchester. It's not that big. Isn't that strange?
That is strange.
That we'd walk, but must have walked past each other 100 times and yet that night, click.
Darling, how long were you together for?
20 years. 20
Do you
years
want
in the end.
Glass of wine?
I'm honestly all right with a cup of tea, honestly. Okay. Thank you. I very rarely drink. I like drink, but I don't.
Because we've got no
space. Help yourself.
I'm going in.
And do some it. Dill mayonnaise. Or would you like some chilli sauce?
Oh, no, I don't do chilli. I'm going to have a slightly crispy one here because that looks...
Yeah. When you got married, what was the food?
Oh, we just went out for lunch. He was very ill then. He tricked me into marrying him by dying. You're allowed to laugh at this because it's like... He used to say, let's get married for years. And I said, why? I don't want to get married. What nonsense. And I genuinely thought it was nonsense. Then he was dying of cancer. Will you marry me? I couldn't say no, could I? Tricked
Russell, don't you want three, darling?
Tricked me. Oh, okay. Is that a lucky number?
Yeah, please. I just want you to have
Of course
luck.
I will.
I want you
I
to...
I was just going to come back.
Yeah, exactly. Would you like some dill mayonnaise?
There. I will have that. Thank you. And, No, so tricked into marriage. And honestly, he was so hoping to cancel it four times.
Oh,
when you cancel a wedding, you have to pay like 70 quid.
You're kidding.
Nightmare.
Administration costs until the last time.
Do you want some bread?
The last time I cancelled it, my friend Peter said, I'll do this. I'll cancel for you. And he phoned them up and he made the woman cry.
And did she not charge you? Good.
She went, that's on the house. Good. You can have that one.
Good.
Bless that woman. I'm going in on the crab cake.
Good. Tell me what it's like.
Oh, it's lovely.
I think a crab cake's better than a fish cake as well.
It's slightly sweeter.
You must feel so proud of so many people that you have kind of been so important in their lives and their careers. Well, David Tennant, Christopher Eccleston.
Bless them. They do all right without me as well. But.
Yeah, but you must feel there's a kind of level of like a teacher that caring takes.
There is, too. Yes, and you can't really turn out a night's telly without seeing someone who's been a Doctor Who or someone I know somewhere. And then the opposite is true. Then you get honoured to work with people like, not just Helena Bonham Carter, but like Penelope Wilton did Doctor Who with us. And I adored her. Oh my God, what great company she is.
I loved her.
Just lucky. Yeah, she's cool.
Are you doing Doctor Who now?
I'm back on it. Yes.
How long has it been since you were off it?
I left it in 2009, so 13 years or something. So I'm back, and it's
how's it feel?
It's lovely. I only came back because I had things to do, and things I wanted to do to it, and stories I wanted to write. And it doesn't feel like going back. It feels cliches. It feels like going forward.
But you relaunched it. I mean, it was kind of dead and buried, and then you put your magic to it, and it was great.
And that was mad. Do you remember 2005 when it just went? It was nuts. It was Doctor Who madness. And the funny thing is, it had been a lot of these things, Crossroads and now Doctor Who. A lot. You're reliving your childhood a lot of the time, and making sense of it and rewriting it. And, you know, the fact that I loved that show my entire life, and it's my first memory in life, not just my first memory of television, my first memory of life is watching William Hartnell regenerate. I can remember it. And so then imagine all those years later, in 2005, I get to make it. It becomes the number one show in Britain. It's like, how lucky am I? I'm very, very, very lucky.
I have a good You're very, very talented.
Thank you.
So it's Doctor Who at the moment.
Yes, years, I think, actually. I'll have to spend years on that.
So there won't be any other projects?
Not for a while. Sorry. I know. Time to give these young things a bit of space.
No.
Sorry. No, it'll be a while. Don't worry. It's like, I'm already talking about things that will get made. Don't worry. As if you're worried.
Did it feel...
I am worried.
Did it feel kind of, I mean, brilliant, but overwhelming, the reaction to It's a Sin? Mm. I mean...
To this day, I find it strange. All do. The hard thing is, the weird thing is, we're all so proud of it.
Yeah.
And it's literally life-changing for us. And I thought my life had changed.
Did it go down well in the States?
Yeah, it did. It's been very successful. But it's so hard to celebrate. Because it's so sad.
Yeah.
And never mind how sad the drama is. The real life stories are not just sad, but infuriating. So do you know what? We've never actually all of us gone out for a dinner. We kept on saying, let's go for a dinner and go, hooray, well done. But it's very hard to go hooray about it, which I'm dying to in many ways. But equally then you go, wow, it's so awful what happened. Imagine being the family of someone who lost their lives in that way. And there are still problems now with HIV. And you see someone cheering about it. So it's an odd one.
Yeah.
It's really odd, but we are so delighted. We are properly passionate friends, all of us, for life. It's like, it's gorgeous.
Just say la.
La. Because we used to do that, me and my friends. I almost cut that at the last minute. I sat watching the edits going, does that work?
Yeah.
Is that too much of an in joke? Do you like watching people having an in joke on screen? I had a real debate with myself. Thank God we left it in.
I think that's what's so beautiful about it. There was so much of your best friend, you know. It was
that language, that friendship. Which is, we don't often see, actually. Good, thank you.
No, thank you.
You have been so lovely about it, the two.
No, we loved it. I mean,
it was kind of astonishingly wonderful.
Do you feel like you now have to write in a kind of activist or campaign? I mean, you know, Nolly is a brilliant three-parter, which is about a woman who was, you know, it's about misogyny, it's about it's about sexism, it's about strong, you know, it's making a point. And shining a light on an imbalance and injustice.
Yeah.
Much like It's a Sin was. Do you feel like you have to do this now?
No, feel like whatever I write about, I turn that way.
Okay.
I'm like an armchair activist. I'm probably quite lazy in many ways, but I get very angry about a lot of things. Very angry. Very angry. And that's part of it. I don't just write out of anger. I write out of many reasons. I just love it. I write out of joy as well, I think. But there is a lot of if it's a Doctor Who script, it starts coming out no matter what. It's just my natural bent is to do that and to find things to say. And actually, I think that's when I'm writing well.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
So we've got your dish.
No, you but what what would your mum make? Besides ossobuco.
And anything. Like in the 60s, we'd have spaghetti bolognese. She didn't do that then.
Spaghetti bolognese.
She was just...
You had to go and buy garlic from a special shop.
I know, it's
Can you
amazing.
Imagine? How would you have managed, darling? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. I wouldn't have smelt like garlic the other night, would I? Bloody
like,
sad
I remember
as well.
The first Chinese takeaway to arrive in Swansea, and that was so tantalising and amazing. And we ran there. It was like, oh my, it was posh. To have a Chinese takeaway then was posh, because it was foreign and different. Marvellous. Oh my God.
So let's give some shout outs to some of your favourite Manchester and Swansea eats places that you like to go.
My favourite eat in Swansea is a brilliant, cheap and cheerful, is it Turkish restaurant called the Mediterranean in the Mumbles, where no our tablecloth, cheap red wine, you know, and a cheap red glass and just lovely.
What's your order?
I will have, there's an order where you can have all the meats.
Oh yeah.
All
mixed grill. Oh, we love a mixed grill in this house.
With the rice. And they put orzo in there. My friend is gluten-free. She said, hello, I'm gluten-free. He said, you can't have the rice then.
Yeah, because they have the little bits of orzo
in it. Why do they put the orzo in it?
Because it's nice.
It's hidden, isn't it? You wouldn't know.
It's cheeky.
Oh, there's also in the rice.
We've got the Mediterranean in Swansea. Mediterranean. What about Manchester?
Manchester, there's a Spanish tapas place called El Gato Negro.
Where's that?
Middletown, King Street, Middletown. Gorgeous.
Elizabeth's
taken
me.
Elizabeth's taken me? Oh, I like that place. And you can sit upstairs.
Yes, you can sit by the
and
kitchen.
And it's quite dark wood and like...
Me and my sister were sat in the kitchen bit and she watched them cook everything. Then she went home and duplicated it all. And it's lovely.
I love
Properly
that.
Nice staff, friendly, funny. Nice,
yeah.
Nice,
and Sugo. Have you been to Sugo?
No.
It's such good pasta.
Oh
my God, it's
Sugo,
so good.
Is that Manchester?
Sugo, yeah.
See, I'm out of that. Do you know what me and my sisters do now? We started doing over the past few years. You know when you read about those really posh places online where they say you have to book a year in advance?
Oh.
So we booked a year in advance.
Oh!
You just do it. So it's like a treat comes along.
That's such
a great
idea.
It's such a simple thing. So we've done, we're going to like Longcombe in...
Oh,
Longcombe.
We're up there in March.
When did you book that? The year
A year ago. It's And we've done... We went to Copenhagen and went to Geranium.
No, did you go to Noma?
No, it was Geranium, which was equally lovely. And we'll do that.
Well, are you ready for some pudding?
All.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So, Mum, what is this?
This is a ricotta
all for me.
Limone.
I think so.
Maybe.
Ricotta what, Duda? Say again.
Ricotta al limone. So it's like a fancy...
A lemon cheesecake?
Yeah, kind
of. So is it a bit like the Pizza Express cheesecake that you used to get?
Maybe.
Okay, amazing.
You could have gone deeper, Lenny.
I'll give you more.
We need to know your last supper.
Do you want
supper.
Raspberries?
My last supper.
Darling, raspberries.
Yes, please.
He wants everything, Mum. Have you not realised?
And do you want mascarpone or fresh cream?
Fresh cream.
Or a bit of both?
Oh, a bit of both.
I knew you'd want
that's
that,
the family
Russell.
Answer, yeah. Do you want ice cream, custard or cream? All three, please.
that's me. So your last supper...
Your
last supper is a starter, a main and a pud and a drink of choice and one person that you're going to choose to have your last supper
with.
Oh,
wow, hooray. For a starter... I will. Do you know I love a prawn cocktail? Love a prawn cocktail.
I
love the
too.
Mary Rose sauce and the
if you had
crispy
a good one
lettuce. I haven't had one for a while.
Maybe Susie needs to make it.
Yes, she can make anything. Okay. Yes. That's a task. That's a nice start. The main. I'd probably go for like. If this is my last
you
meal
can
on
have
earth.
More.
Oh, thank you, darling. Honestly, thank you. That's gorgeous. I'd probably have a roast chicken dinner.
Yeah.
That's gorgeous, isn't it? It's like...
I love roast chicken dinner.
Yeah, and again, my family does cauliflower cheese with that.
Don't
see that debate this week about would you have cheese with a roast? That's been a thing on Radio 2.
Cheese.
Zoe Ball has been discussing there's someone who grates cheese over their roast dinner.
Oh, hang on.
Grates cheese
It probably would work.
I'm sitting there thinking, we have cauliflower cheese with our dinners.
That's very true.
And that's the same.
But it's not like a spag bol, is it?
It is a bit odd.
Do you want some?
Yes, please, but a little sliver, please.
Zoe's conclusion was, that's too strange.
Okay, fine.
I must listen to Zoe.
You're a Radio 2 fan.
In all things I am, yes. I love Zoe Ball. And you, Zoe Ball, way ago, when we were both... she was like an 18-year-old researcher at Granada.
Oh, really?
When I was working there, yeah. I went to her 21st birthday party. I see her now and again. We're not best friends or anything, but I adore her. I think she's lovely.
She's really, really is lovely and completely genuine.
Yes. Is that boring going for a roast?
No, it's it's quite common. It's not boring.
Yeah, I'm worried about it being common, but you've got to be honest. Tiffany, bangers and mash as well is lovely. That's
with an onion gravy.
Yeah. Yeah,
and a mustard.
Not so much the mustard, to be honest. No.
My kids are really into Yorkshire pudding, so I feel like I should be starting to do toad in the hole for them.
Is it nice?
Is it nice?
Oh, this is lovely.
Pudding.
Is it nice?
Pudding is very simple. Joe's ice cream from Swansea. I love ice cream, full stop.
Joe's ice cream.
And there's a shop called, it's an old establishment in Swansea, an old fashioned ice cream parlour. She's been there always. All my life, it's from 1922 it was founded. Joe's Ice Cream. So they only do vanilla. It's just one, but well, they now have a little.
Joe's must do the best vanilla, and if they've got an ice cream parlour with only vanilla.
Simply amazing. They've now bowed to the tourist trade. They have a little tub where they have mint and chocolate and things like that.
But it's really.
We don't talk about that. Swansea people don't go to that part of the shop.
How do you have yours? In a cone, or do you get a tub?
Just a tub. You might put some. Sometimes you put some raspberry sauce on it. Sometimes put some chocolate
what
sauce
do you
on
think,
it, but
Jessie?
It's delicious.
This is lovely. Have you never?
I've not made it.
But Joe's ice cream parlour in Swansea. I feel like it should be on every tourist destination.
In the summer, you'd have to queue to get in there. It's just so famous in Swansea. It's like my house is just up the hill.
How convenient that they film all the time in Cardiff now.
I know, it's very convenient.
Can I have a bit more?
Do you need
a cup of tea again to go with it? Because
I like
cold.
Lukewarm tea.
Oh really?
I'll happily drink that. Sorry, is that put you off me? Oh. I really happily drink that.
No, we're
really?
Not off you at all.
No, I love you. I love that you. Yes, I love
tasty.
You. I want to know what your drink of choice would be and who you would like to spend your last supper with.
Drink of choice wouldn't be booze. I'd have a cup of tea. Okay. I had to do when I came out walking, I have a cup of tea everywhere.
What's your tea bag?
Plain old Tetley.
Oh, Tetley.
A simple old Tetley, yeah. But for Christmas, my niece bought me 1,000 tea bags of Tetley. A giant bag with it, bigger than my head, of Tetley, my favourite present. And I'm keeping a tally on it. See, if I started it on
How
New
long
Year's
do you
Day,
think it will
I
take?
Wonder. I started on New Year's Day, I'll come back to you with this information. Where did
I
go to the last one?
I want to know how long it would take.
Well, I think I have about 4 cups of tea a day.
How many
sometimes
tea,
I'm
how
a visitor.
Many tea bags is
which
it?
Is not a thousand.
So, do you have coffee as well?
I do.
So, you're like amped
Actually,
up all day, Russell.
That's my favourite place in the world. I go to a cafe every day in Swansea. I go to a cafe called Mumble's Coffee.
Mumble's
with the
coffee.
Nicest coffee I've ever had in the world, with the nicest staff.
What's your order?
Just delightful. Oat flat white.
Oh, get you. Oh. Fantastic.
Which I call an OT Mabuse. I walk in, I go, OT Mabuse.
OT Mabuse.
And they know me, they just make the own power. And off they go. The nicest staff, lovely boys and girls work there. That's my favourite place in the world, actually. And my husband loved it there. It's very sentimental to me because it was his favourite place to go and sit. And it's like living in a sitcom cafe. It's like all the regulars come in, they're all nuts and brilliant and funny, and it's a nice place.
Like oat milk? I didn't put you down as an
oat. No, one of the baristas, Morgan, my good friend Morgan, the baristas, talked me through the oatiness, talked me through real milk. And I had no choice in the end. Well, I should also add he's very good looking. I'll do whatever he says.
Who's your favourite person you've worked with besides the whole cast of It's a Sin?
Oh, that's hard because, they'd all...
Who's being invited to a dinner party at Russell's?
I am... I can't do this. Who's my favourite? Because actually, almost all actors are lovely. Really?
You've
met people, they're nice, aren't they? It's like, it's
quite
a laugh.
Quite intense, a lot of them, aren't they?
Yes.
Well, we like that.
I like them when they're like tense. That. I like them when they're high maintenance. I understand
Do you?
That. Yeah, because it's their face on screen. I can sit there and type, and they've got to go do it in front of a camera. I admire them for doing it. I love them. It's my favourite. I love Leslie Sharp. I've had
a lovely
friendship with Leslie Sharp over the years.
Because which one did you do, Bob?
We did a lot. She did Bob and Rose, and she did The Second Coming, and she did a Doctor Who with me. So I've kind of, poor Leslie, I think I've exhausted her now. But I adore her. Yeah, lots of them, though. Like I said, Penelope. Well, David Tennant. Oh, my God, Catherine Tate. See, I'm leaving. Billy Piper, I'm leaving people out now.
Yeah.
Stop it. It's
They've all
like,
got to come.
Yeah.
I need to know who you'd share your last supper with.
I know. Can I bring my husband back?
It'd be me and Andrew
sitting there. And do you know what we do? Our favourite thing, we just sit and watch TV. Oh. And that was our favourite night. So we just sit and laugh. We'd laugh so much. He had such a good sense of humour.
What was his job?
He was a customs officer. Bless him. He's a civil servant, customs officer. And and just the desk job, really. He did some years at the airport, checking people and searching them. He was the person in charge of Europe's list of non-ozone depleting substances.
Christ. That's a niche
I put that in. How did they cope now? What's happening with the ozone depleting? No wonder the world's going to pot. No one's in charge of the list. Lenny, what are we going to do? It's like... I'd love to get an ozone depleting substance. You can't get them for love nor money.
What is an ozone depleting substance?
I don't know. I never asked.
Isn't it just spraying?
It was all, excuse me, it was all about me. I didn't ask him what it meant. I just love rattling that off.
Ozone depleting substances.
And the European list. That's what I love. I presume with Brexit, that's gone, actually.
They don't care.
There we are. They don't care.
They won't let it in.
There we are.
If you weren't watching the telly, what song would be playing?
Ooh, right now it's that Lionheart by Joel Corey. I can't stop listening. Ooh. I can't stop. It's kind of carved its way into my head. That
Joel
song.
Corey does that to a lot of people.
Oh, it's
who is he, darling?
You'd know if you heard it. It's quite anthemic. It's in the charts now, and or has been at Christmas. And I'm so obsessed with it. I had to go online and buy every mix of it, even the England World Cup mix. There's a mix where they go, England, in the middle, just because I had to have variations on it.
The biggest Joel Corey fan is Russell T. Davis.
Do you listen to pop music?
I do, a lot.
Do you?
Yeah, I love pop. Also, I kind of put a lot of pop music into my stuff.
Totally.
And I specifically like pop. Pete Pafferty, you know Pete Pafferty, who's Catherine Moran's husband?
Yeah.
He identified my musical taste. He said, you actually like Europop. And I was quite insulted for a while, but I didn't realise what Europop meant, which Europop means good pop. And I associated it with Euro pudding or something, but it's like he meant you're a proper Euro pop fan of your ABBAs and your Britney Spears at her best.
Have you seen ABBA?
No, I must go to that.
Oh, I know.
Only Doctor Who gets a mention at the beginning, doesn't it? There's a little speech.
Oh, yeah, because
he says, like Doctor Who, we're going to travel in time. Like that. That was my accent.
It's so amazing.
I
see it,
I know.
Last question. What is a taste that can take you back to somewhere in an instant or a smell?
It's going to be Joe's ice cream again.
Joe's ice cream?
I know. It's such a very... I think it's ice cream with condensed milk in it. That's all. Oh. You know, it's like a secret recipe.
Yeah.
No one knows how to make it. And also, my grandmother in 1960 was engaged to Joe Cascarini.
And Joe as in Joe the ice cream.
Broke up with him. We could have been ice cream.
Shit.
Millionaire.
You would have been an ice cream family. Yeah.
I'd be running
that place. Imagine, you'd be a maid in Chelsea.
There would have been any scripts, but there would have been a lot of ice cream.
But
I would have expanded worldwide.
But William Boyd's book, Ice Cream Wars, do you remember that? In Scotland.
Well, there must be a better answer to that question.
Something else? Any other taste?
Just...
When you were living in your flat and going lot all the time,
what were you eating?
Oh, see, that's when I was a rubbish cook. That's when I'd have like a tin of tuna. And do you know what I like? Tinned boiled potatoes. Oh, they're gorgeous.
Gorgeous?
Yeah, I'd have them
How
now.
How would you cook them?
You don't, you have them cold out of the tin.
Oh my God, no.
Oh my God, have you not ever had that?
No.
Is that just, oh, they're tasty.
Do they still make them?
They do, yes,
have
yes, yes.
Have you still got them in your cupboard?
No, I don't anymore.
Yeah, so.
But have a little cup, there'll be a night, and I'll go, I'm going to go out and buy that now. And I'll do
Followed
it.
Followed by Joe.
I think sometimes they have a mint taste. They're kind of slightly minted.
Oh, no,
well.
No, I've never minted. They have a very...
Have you never had them?
Starchy, boiled taste to them. Which is delicious. Oh, my God, I'll eat it now. After this meal, I'll eat it now. A tin was put in front of me. And you said, you've got to eat that. I have no problem.
Dear,
I've lost you. Right
and
at
now
the end.
Right at the end.
So that room's gone now.
Russell T. Davis, thank
you so
much.
Go and have a rest before tonight.
Go and rest. And I wish you all the best with Nolly, because I think it's really good telly. Oh. And it's great performances. And
thank
there's
you.
Such warmth and support
it's a lovely
for
piece
this.
Of work. It's a laugh, isn't it? As well?
Yeah.
I think we're always in danger of like talking about the issues behind it and ignoring the fact that it's a laugh.
It is.
It's a right old proper
and,
laugh.
And like there's some fantastic monologues.
Yeah.
Like Helena has a
there's
few
some
monologues,
audition pieces on there.
And yeah. You're yes. Yeah.
Audition pieces.
It's really such a fantastic watch, and I wish you all the best. And obviously, Doctor Who, we're all very excited about it.
That's going to be fun. Thank you so much. I've loved this.
Thank you for doing this, and I do feel bad that you've got a bloody screening
now.
We've
needs
given
to go
him
and rest.
No, but I'm like, what, every Sunday now?
No.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come. I lived in London, I'd be.
Do come. We do Good Rose.
If you need to just be in London for a bit, but you need a home cooked meal, we
just come.
Well, I could have had him here for another 2 days.
I hoped he'd move in.
I think he was knocking on all the wood. I think that was wishing him luck for getting the invite back. Okay. He's so warm and talented and lovely and generous.
Just a gorgeous, gorgeous man.
Thank you so much to Russell T. Davies for coming here when he's got such a busy day. He's going off to a screening now at the BFI. He's been on Loose Women. He's had his like fair share of mouthy women with him today.
I thought you were going to say fish cakes then.
He did like the fish cakes.
He did like crab cakes, darling.
They
crab
were
cakes.
Really good, Mum.
They were delicious, weren't they? But do you know what? Can I just say something?
What?
The crab meat is so expensive. They were really? £8. That one little pot was £8.
Oh.
So that and was 24 quid.
Three pots. I really liked it. I liked the mayonnaise with the dill.
The
I liked
dill
it
mayonnaise
all.
Made it,
Did
actually.
You put onions in the mayonnaise or was it literally dill and mayonnaise?
But there was onions in the crab cakes.
I really
finely
liked it.
Finely chopped.
Loved it.
Okay. So you think it's worth doing again?
Yeah, really liked it.
What about the ricotta al
really,
limone?
I really liked that. Whose recipe was that?
I found it on the internet in Italian and I got it translated.
Oh, Mum. Really nice. Was it easy?
Yeah.
How do you do it?
So it's just egg yolks
with
only 100 grams of sugar.
Oh, fab.
And
it's good for
half
you,
a juice of a lemon. I would have put a whole lemon
yes,
in.
Yes, I think it could have been more lemony.
But it had two lemon zests in it. And then you separate the whites, and then you just whip up the egg yolks, the sugar and the lemon. Add the ricotta and whip the... And
it wasn't that tall.
No. Add the ricotta. It only was three eggs. So if you wanted to make it bigger, you should have doubled it. But it said to make it thin.
I thank you for listening. I thank Russell T. Davies. And thank you, Mum, for cooking such a lovely lunch.
Pleasure.
Have you got anything to say to your fans?
No. Look out on Instagram and TikTok for the new generation of table manners.
Oh, God, don't.
Now we're TikToking.
Anybody got any content that they'd like to see Lenny doing, please email us at hello@tablemannerspodcast.com.
And look out for my new leopard print knife. It is a good knife, isn't it?
Yeah, bloody cut your finger.
Yeah.
It's really sharp. Anyway, we'll see you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.